Okay, you can turn to Psalm 73. This is a psalm of Asaph, where he says, if he had almost stumbled, and I'd like to look just at verses 27 to 28, where he does a comparison between those who are far from God and those who are near to God. But we can read the whole chapter to start with. Psalm 73, a psalm of Asaph. Truly God is good to Israel, to those who are pure in heart. But as for me, my feet had almost stumbled. My steps had nearly slipped, for I was envious of the arrogant when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. For they have no pangs until death. Their bodies are fat and sleek. They are not in trouble as others are. They are not stricken like the rest of mankind. Therefore pride is their necklace. Violence covers them as a garment. Their eyes swell out through fatness. Their hearts overflow with follies. They scoff and speak with malice. Loftily they threaten oppression. They set their mouths against the heavens, and their tongue struts through the earth. Therefore his people turn back to them and find no fault in them. And they say, how can God know? Is there knowledge in the Most High? Behold, these are the wicked, always at ease. They increase in riches. All in vain have I kept my heart clean and washed my hands in innocence. For all the day long I have been stricken and rebuked every morning. If I had said, I will speak thus, I would have betrayed the generation of your children. But when I thought how to understand this, it seemed to me a wearisome task until I went into the sanctuary of God. Then I discerned their end. Truly, you set them in slippery places. You make them fall to ruin. How they are destroyed in a moment, swept away utterly by terrors. Like a dream when one awakes, O Lord, when you rouse yourself, you despise them as phantoms. When my soul was embittered, when I was pricked in heart, I was brutish and ignorant. I was like a beast toward you. Nevertheless, I am continually with you. You hold my right hand. You guide me with your counsel, and afterward you will receive me to glory. Whom have I in heaven but you? And there is nothing on earth that I desire besides you. My flesh and my heart may fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. For behold, those who are far from you shall perish. You put an end to everyone who is unfaithful to you. But for me, it is good to be near God. I have made the Lord God my refuge, that I may tell of all your works. So the outline I made is just, number one, far from God, and number two, near to God. So let's look at first, far from God in verse 27. All those who are far from you shall perish. And let's look first at some qualities of those far from God. First we see verse 4 that sin is comfortable. But no pangs until death. Verse 5, they're not in trouble as others are, not stricken. And verse 7, their hearts overflowing with follies. They're at ease and comfortable, and sin can be comfortable, best case scenario, for years on end. But what are years in this life we have? Time keeps moving faster and faster every year, and even if we have perfect health for 50, 60, 70 years, it'll soon be over. Sin is comfortable, and second, sin is precarious. Verse 18, truly you set them in slippery places. You make them fall to ruin. How they are destroyed in a moment, swept away utterly by terrors. To be far from God will be terrifying. Like in verse 20, awakening from a dream, the unbeliever will find themselves awaking to find everything that I cared most about doesn't matter at all. All those physical things and just whatever crude on earth. And those which I cared nothing about, my spiritual state and God and others, those matter infinitely. Infinitely here sounds at first like a hyperbole or a superlative, but it isn't. My existence is infinite. We'll be either together forever with the Lord or where the worm does not die and the fire is not quenched. So my existence is infinite. The God who created everything, he has infinite glory, and he deserves infinite praise from us creatures. And then others have infinite value given by God. We degrade other people by our actions and thoughts throughout our life, but God gives one human person a value that can't be measured with all the world's money. So the end of those far from God, verse 27, is that they will perish. To be far from God is temporarily comfortable if we deaden our conscience and put up with living without hope. This is all in contrast to the believer who has found himself brought near to God. We see verse 28, but for me it is good to be near God. In contrast to the unbeliever, the believer, to be near God, it is safe for him, comfortable for him, and peaceful. Safe because the inner man can be at peace while our outer man is even in the midst of war, not to mention any other hardship that we find in our life. To be near God is comfortable. It is, to say this is comfortable is not ignoring the troubles that we have. It's not a form of stoicism, bearing it on the chin, but looking at troubles head on. Thankfully, the Bible gives us a very well-rounded and well-grounded view of our troubles, not ignoring them at all, and giving a maybe not giving the full reason of them in this life, but we have the source of them, which is God's good hand. We are not guaranteed a comfortable life in this world at all, but rather in the world you will have tribulation, but take heart, I have overcome the world. Jesus there says we have tribulation, and then the sentence right after he says, take heart, be encouraged, be comforted, I have overcome the world. This is why real Christianity spreads in horrible authoritarian governments, because they cannot stop God's comfort from spreading through his Son. Whereas sin is only comfortable for a long period of time, even as just the best case scenario, it's often much shorter than a long period. We don't have to plant our hopes in the thin air like that. We can rather plant our hopes in the sturdy ground of God's promises, just one of which I found was John 14:3. Jesus says, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also. So to be near God is safe, comfortable, and peaceful. This peace is peace of God. It comes from knowing that I know my real position as a creature. I'm not being deluded. I don't think that I just need to learn enough and I can become a little God. as a creature, I can live and work and be a creature of God with a clean conscience before God, because I'm only seen by God as I truly am in Christ. When I fail in sin, I can come to God through His Son for full-hearted forgiveness from the Father. And now I can live out all of my days doing my work for and to God, interacting with His other creatures for His glory. And then at the end of the day, can sleep easy, knowing that He'll provide strength every day to do this until He says, "My tasks are finished." And then we go home to our Father, and we'll see His Son with our eyes instead of by faith. God is so kind to give us to give us His Word and to give us a true sight of our state. This is partial sight for sure, but true and real sight. So what is this peace of the believer, this full orb peace, compared to the world's peace? The world's peace is, I have all my wants met. Verse 4, no pangs until death. I'm fat and sleek. I have all of my wants met. And therefore, I'm at peace. Or I'm okay for now. I've got enough money for now. I'm healthy enough currently. But what is this compared to knowing the peace that comes from God? To be close to God, though, like this, it can be scary, though, because it means our sin will be exposed much more readily. So do we want to be near to God? Do we have pet sins that we excuse or lightly plan to do, when we should rather be fleeing them? Does our flesh recoil at the idea of being near God? Well, it will, all the time. We do need to view ourselves biblically. Spirit is at war with the flesh. Paul says, "Oh, wretched man that I am," and we have two natures in us now, the old man and the Spirit given by the Father. And we need to take ourselves before God and reason with ourselves before Him that there can be no pet sins. I need to forsake them, and then we can we need to then ask Him to please help me to forsake them. Does our sin or pet sins, but does our sin in general, does it loom large in our eyes? If we saw it rightly, it would. And if we saw if we saw ourselves as we really are, we would be coming to Christ more often. So the believer's response in all this is, it is good to be near God, to be far in affection from the world. So as we come to prayer tonight, we have at the top of the prayer request list, just enter into God's presence. So we come before God, and how do we come before Him? We come to Him clothed in Christ's righteousness, not separate from Christ. Not separate from Christ at all, not having a righteousness external to Himself, not the one that He gives apart from Himself, but being, but righteousness that only comes from being found in Him, being clothed in Christ Himself. We also come as adopted sons and daughters. No, we're adopted out of the world's family, out of the world's broken family, into the perfect family of God. And we also come as near God and not far from Him. We come into His presence, but it's not at the other end of a big courtroom or something. But we come close into His presence right before Him, having been brought there by Christ. So, just in closing, we can come near to God, and like the Son asking His Father for a loaf of bread, we can come asking God to do these requests.